Praise God.
Take your seats, please. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. I want to share with you this morning about religious spirits. One of the most dangerous type of demonic force that there is. One of the most dangerous types of spirits that there is a religious spirit. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. And the synagogue official became indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he began saying to the multitude in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath?" Hallelujah. As he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire multitude was rejoicing over all the glorious things done by him. Hallelujah to Jesus. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, release us from every religious spirit, we pray. Every spirit of religion. Father God, we thank you so much that life is about relationship with you. Life is about honoring you. Life is about serving you. It's about pleasing you. It's about walking in your ways. It's about walking in your spirit and not in the flesh. It's about walking with you and holding your hand, Lord God, and not being religious. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for relationship. May it trump religion every time, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. It's a fascinating story, this. I did a little calculation this morning as I was studying out this word. And the synagogue official was in his synagogue, and he had what we would call a religious spirit. How do we know it's a religious spirit? Religious thinking makes you think stupid things. It makes you think that somehow you can please God by turning a particular direction to pray, when God is the God of the north, the east, the west, and the south. Religious spirits make you think that somehow eating this or not eating that is somehow going to make you more or less pleasing to God. Say amen. Any one of you avoiding pork or bacon, I want to encourage you to get a delicious bacon sandwich with HP sauce and fill it up and just enjoy yourself and be free from every religious spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh my. There's a special anointing that comes on you. It's called BLT. Hallelujah. With ketchup. There are all sorts of rules and regulations that religious spirits will inspire certain people to do. And 99.9999999% of them are nonsense. And we've got to be free from religion. Religion can make your thinking go a particular direction that is totally contrary to the will of God. You think about this. This scholar, this synagogue official, we would call them a deacon or something like that, would be the same thing in the church, right? Now, the Bible says that the woman had been bound by a spirit, right? But the man had a religious devil. Now, the difference is the woman wanted to be free from this thing, but the man was happy where he was. He was happy in his bubble of ignorance and stupidity. Have you ever met anyone like that? Yeah, yeah. And you see, religious spirits are like this. They make you think stupid. This same synagogue official studied the same books of Moses and the same prophets that Jesus himself studied. He came to one complete conclusion, and Jesus came to another completely different conclusion, because one was inspired by a religious spirit and the other one was inspired by the Spirit of the living God. Do you see the difference? Now, here's one of the dangerous things about drawing your own conclusion. Drawing your own conclusion is like this. You're walking down the road and you see a pig, and he is carrying on his back a packet of sausages. He is drawing his own conclusion. Oh, forget it. Don't worry. That one will hit you at about 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. You'll be saying, oh, Father, thank you so much for that rhema word about the pig and the sausages. That's what happens when you draw your own conclusion. It's a very dangerous thing to do. And it ended up, this synagogue official ended up in an incredible mess as a result. Because he ended up, you think about this. This woman was bound by who? What does it say? Ought not this woman be loosed whom Satan has bound? In his ignorance, this religious guy was taking sides then with who? Satan. He didn't know. In his ignorance, do you understand? Spiritual darkness. Do me a favor, remove that bottle there from the thing, please. Thank you so much. In his ignorance, he is taking sides with the devil. He's drawn his own conclusion. And as a result, he is a direct enemy of God. Religion can make you an enemy of God. Trust me, Jesus says in the last days, he said, people will hand you over to the authorities and they will think they're doing God a favor. Because religious thinking can blind you. I was blinded myself by religious thinking and I didn't even know about it. Even before I got saved. She's getting her vengeance now on me. Have to speak to you after the service, my love. That was a bit loud. Bible says, keep quiet in church. You're a woman. I'm kidding. See? Now, can you imagine how many people have misunderstood that scripture about women keeping silence in church? Many wives are often a lot wiser than their husbands. I didn't hear enough amen, ladies, at all. Yeah. But women are more prone to deception than men. So that's why God gives the male headship in the marriage. And all the men said,
amen.
Hallelujah. You see, but wisdom, think about this now. Wisdom can speak through either. So you've got to be discerning to be able to hear God, particularly men. We have to be discerning how to hear God through our spouse. Yeah. Do you remember? Send the bondwoman away. Do you remember Sarah and Hagar? Send the bondwoman away. Abraham says, no, I can't do that. And God said, actually, sir, your wife is right. Send her away. Ooh. Can you imagine if he then quoted that scripture? But Lord, the Bible says, let the women keep silent. Let them ask their husbands at home, etc., etc. What a mess we would have been in. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. We've got to be free from every type of religious bondage. Every type. This synagogue official became an enemy of God. And Jesus had to correct. He said, ought not this one. Now, I did this calculation. I was going to share with you. I did this calculation. The synagogue official, right? He said there are 7 days in a week. The woman had been bound for 18 years. That means that the synagogue official had 5,634 days to loose that woman from her infirmity, but he couldn't do it. And it's interesting, you see, what was driving that synagogue official was spiritual jealousy. Religious spirits will use spiritual jealousy to justify their own ignorant position. May you be free from every religious spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, Pastor P, how do I know whether I've got a religious spirit? Well, here's some indicators. Number one, you're always looking at other people and what they're doing. Remember Jesus said, he said, make sure that you take the log out of your own eye. In other words, when you stand before God, before the throne of judgment, you're not going to be judged about what other people did. That's going to be between them and God. You are going to be judged according to what you did or didn't do. So actually, the speck in your brother's eyes really is immaterial to you unless you are their disciple maker. Right? And if you're their disciple maker, you've got to make sure that the log in your own eye is out before you deal with the speck in theirs. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the things I've learned is that character formation is an antidote. It's like an immunization to religious spirits. Character formation. Father, work on me. Lord, if you're gonna choose me and use me, then work in me deep. Do you remember what Pastor Cesar used to tell us in Bogota, Colombia? He said, "If you know, you can have God do a small work through you, that's fine. But if you want God to do a big work through you, then you have to dig very, very deep foundations into your character. Your life and your character matter before God so that you can go and do and be that thing that God has called you to do and to be." Hallelujah to Jesus. I pray that you do a great work. I pray that the works you do will be greater than the works that I can do. I want to see you go far. But one of these things, we've got to deal with those things. I remember, you see, how sneaky is the devil on this? Let me tell you a quick story. I was raised in an Irish Catholic home. And my father was very much an Irish nationalist. He left Ireland because he had this kind of longing to see a different Ireland. And he left Ireland and came to London to get work and all that kind of thing. He worked very hard. His degree qualification certificate was written in the Irish language, in Gaelic, and therefore it was classed as irrelevant here. It's like if you've trained to be a doctor in Asia or Africa or the Philippines, often they make you retrain and resit the exams, etc. Well, that didn't even happen back then. They just looked at the qualification and said, sorry, that's not valid here. So he ended up humping meat at Smithfield Meat Market. You know, they work all through the night and everything like that. It was very, very hard work, very arduous. And he got involved in Irish nationalist politics. So he joined what they called the official IRA back in the late 50s. There was a particular time where the IRA was causing like minor disturbances in the UK. It was led by a guy called Brendan Behan, who was also a writer. They called it the Borstal Boy campaign, and he knew how to mix explosives. And so my dad learned how to mix explosives, and he used to store explosives that they used to put in post boxes and telegraph poles and railway lines, just causing kind of general disturbances. So don't mess. No, I'm kidding. Some of you are like, Pastor P, do you know how to make bombs? Yeah. Come to me for counseling later. We will minister to you that one. And anyway, so it was general kind of antagonistic disturbance. When the Provisional IRA then split from the official IRA and started blowing up London properly, he left that organization because he didn't believe in killing people. So it was a lot like, if you've read the story of Mandela, Nelson Mandela, the kind of like things that he was involved in. You know, they would blow up a train railway track or a telegraph pole or something like that, sort of low-level antagonism rather than what you would call full-blown terrorism. And so he died when I was 16, and I, at the age of 16, I was becoming very Republican myself. My dad, there's something about generational curses often that they will look for a home while the person carrying them is still alive, right? So that they're never homeless. Demons don't like to be homeless. And so what did Jesus say? He says, when a spirit comes out of a man, it goes through dry and waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. So they want to seek rest inside a human being. And that was what was happening with this generational curse, although I didn't know it until like 5-10 years ago when God was showing me all this kind of stuff that I had to be free from. And so this spirit then started to come on me. I started, there's this newspaper called Republican News that the Sinn Féin used to publish and the like Republican movement used to publish. And I used to buy that and then I wanted to start selling it. And that's how you sort of get, it's a slippery slope that you kind of descend into this Irish political nationalist situation. And so I was becoming more and more militant. Then all of a sudden, in 1984, August, I got radically saved. I had an encounter with God. Many of you know the story. I got radically saved. My life just turned around within like a two-hour period. That's what it felt like. And I started outwalking my salvation. So I gave all that stuff up. I renounced violence. I renounced the Republican movement thing and all that kind of stuff. I stopped reading the papers and I just read my Bible and all that kind of thing. And then what had happened was there was something that had lodged in my heart that I hadn't realized was there. For those of you who know kind of left-wing radical politics, certain nations almost have covenant relationships with other nations. So along with this IRA war and IRA sympathies was almost a covenant with a Basque group in Spain called ETA. Have you ever heard of ETA, the Basque separatists? And they were very close to the Sinn Féin and the IRA, and their political wing was called Ari Batasuna, and they sort of merged and mingled with the IRA. And then the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, Yasser Arafat, his organization was very close to the IRA as well. And so I started, you know, I'd been wearing one of those red and white check thingies that Yasser Arafat used to wear. You know, he used to wear it around his head, but I used to have it around as a scarf. And it's like a sign of rebellion. It's like a tag if you're a gang member, you know, like colors and stuff like that. And so this thing, I'd renounced all that when I'd gotten saved. But then all of a sudden, what happened in my heart was that the residual hatred that the Palestinians have for Israel was still very much there. And I didn't know. It had slipped under the door. Often with generational curses come these little extra little bits that you don't know are there, that the devil tries to keep in you as a deposit to bring a curse onto your life. Now, if you read the story very carefully of that woman that we've just read, the Bible says that Jesus compared her liberation to a man untying his ox or his donkey and taking them to water. Do you remember that? Yes. That's very, very important. Because many times when God said to Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. If you read that in the Hebrew, it's literally, I will tie you to a curse. The way you would tie an ox or a donkey to a pole. And there's been some people that I've prayed for and I couldn't get them free. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, what is this? And it's like they have tied themselves by not knowing stuff. They have tied themselves the way that a person would tie an animal to a thing. And they themselves can't get free. That was the situation of this woman. she was tied to a curse. And if you read it in Genesis 12, it literally says, I will bind to a curse. Those who curse you, I will bind to a curse. So then, obviously, Abraham has Isaac, and then Isaac has Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. You remember that? This is what God told me. He said, you see, when you say the word Israel, you're thinking of a nation. When I say the word Israel, I'm thinking of a man. When I say Israel, I think the nation. When God says Israel, he's speaking of the man. Because when Jacob became Israel, all the nations of Israel were on the inside of Jacob. So God sees the thing at the root. Yes. Do you see what I mean? And this was the thing, you see, I had this, not really, hatred would be too strong a word. I had this disdain for Israel. I didn't know why it was so important to God. That's the honest truth. Now, they are God's covenant people according to the flesh. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that everything they do is wonderful. You've got to leave them to God. I'm not going to judge another man's servant. And the Bible says that Israel is my servant. Do you see what I'm saying? So I had this disdain for Israel. You know, this nation that thinks it's special, this nation that thinks it's important, this nation that's in the news every other week, and yet it's only the size of Wales. Do you understand? Like, what is so important? Israel's in the news here, there, and everywhere. You know, if a gun goes off in one of the occupied territories, then, like, you know, the whole world hears about it. But it's because of its importance to the heart of God. Israel is very, very important to God. And so I thought to myself, wow. And the reason that I'm saying is this, is that you see, salvation is, it's in gradients, if you see what I mean. When you say, Jesus, come into my life and change my life, the Bible says you are saved, right? But then it says in another passage that we are being saved. And that part of being saved is getting all that old nature out of you. What the Bible calls the salvation of the soul, right? So we must understand little things like that could have become that tiny little thing, that tiny little envelope of disdain that the devil wanted to leave in my heart because of the way that I had been, if you like, brainwashed to see, is it the kind of light, the tainted light that I had been brainwashed by the Republican movement to see Israel in, that could have tied me unconsciously to a curse. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we have to be very, very careful because this is how the devil works. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. So we've got to be really just walk circumspectually, be very careful, be very sensitive about what we do, about, the whole thing about, here's another thing that can tie people to a curse, gossip, hatred of your father. Oh, there's something about dads. Often we make it easy for our kids to hate us. That's the truth. Don't hear any dads saying amen. But often our children can end up hating us as a result of the way we behave towards them. Things like arrogance, things like pride, things like not stepping. You know, if I make a mistake, I will tell my children straight. Dad, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. When I was little, I used to say, I'm sorry, Daddy made a mistake. Dad, like me, Daddy, you understand? And apologize, and I'll get them to pray for me and everything like that and make a big deal about the fact that I got it wrong, but I've apologized. Because we have to make it easy for our children to honor us. The Bible says, he who hates his father shall live out less than half his days. Can you imagine? Now, imagine this, right? That you're moving along through life. You've gotten saved. But like every time it comes to thinking about your dad, oh, don't go there. Oh, don't mention my dad. In fact, there's one guy I knew. Thank God he came to his senses. And he had a change of mind concerning his father. His father was an alcoholic, used to like treat the whole family like dirt and all kinds of stuff. And like every possible means to create a disturbance in the soul of this guy. This guy on paper would have every right to hate his dad. Every right to. If you were a judge holding a court of law, you'd have every right to say, you know what, you're legally entitled to hate your father. But here's the thing, you see, God has already pronounced judgment that if you hate your father, you'll live out less than half your days. So can you imagine you're going through life being bound to a curse like that, not knowing? And what does the Bible say? Genesis 6:3, my soul shall not strive with man forever. As for his days shall be 120 years. So if the days of man are 120 years, then when you hit 60, if you hate your dad, you've got a problem. Amen. Amen. So we've got to be free from that kind of stuff. We've got to be free and make sure, Lord, let this thing get into my character. What does the Bible say? Let the word of God, what is it? Colossians 3:10. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom and honor. So when you're reading the book of Proverbs, you're not just skirting over it. This is one of the things I don't like about Bible reading programs, is that a lot of people, they tend to just skirt over the word instead of letting it dwell in them richly. God bless you if you can do a Bible reading program and some of it actually enters you. But as for me, I can take a verse and I can go on that verse for a month. Just chewing that thing over and over. Father, what does it mean to me? I like reading it in the King James, you know, talking about bowels of mercy. Yes. And I am the Lord. I search out the kidneys, you know, all the internal, like, you know, the way it talks about in the King James, it's kind of strange and all kinds of interesting language, but there's richness in there. And you can dig for the thing. He says, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great treasure. So there's treasure available in the word. Now, can you imagine if I had not dealt with the issue of how God sees Israel in my life? I am sure if you read the blessings of those who bless Israel and the cursings on those who curse Israel, then I would be sure that some of those cursings, because of my disdain for Israel, do you remember? When I say Israel, I'm thinking of the nation, but when God says Israel, he's thinking of the man. And when God looked, you see, this is the thing about God, because he's moving outside time. If he's talking to Israel, he can be talking to a man or he can be talking to the nation, both at the same time. There's no separation in the mind and the economy of God concerning Israel. And so you can see there were nations that disagreed with at the United Nations against the foundation of the nation state of Israel in 1948, and they suffered for over 60 years as a result. I was there in Peru, in Lima. It was one of the greatest meetings I've ever been to, where a senator called Mirta Hornung invited over the ambassador from Israel to Peru, and she did a public service of apology on behalf of the nation of Peru to the nation of Israel for voting against the founding of the nation state of Israel in 1948. They struck gas that year. Isn't that amazing? Now you think of that. The gas has been there for thousands of years off the coast of Peru, and suddenly they have that apology ceremony, and in a couple of weeks, boom, gas. It's amazing how God does these things. The Bible says, how unfathomable are his ways. We try to suss him out and work him out with our little minds, but God's plan, his agenda is so much bigger. Hallelujah. May God deliver us from every religious spirit in the name of Jesus. For some people, hating Israel is a national pastime. May God deliver us from that. May we bless that nation, not because of what it does, but because of what it means to our Heavenly Father. Let's stand to our feet right now. And as we stand to our feet, I just want to make you to say this confession. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, every religious spirit, every self-invoked curse, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray that you may expose it so that I can deal with it, so that I can live life to the full, so that I can be blessed, so that I can walk in the health and prosperity that you have ordained for me in your word. Help me to honor my parents. Help me to bless those who curse me. Help me to pray for those who persecute me. Help me to lift up and not put down. Give me discretion over gossip. Give me understanding over ignorance. Release me into more of your power. More of your favor. More of your generational blessings. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.